The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Amazing Stories from Skid Row, brought to you by Union Rescue Mission, where we don't just change moments in time, but we transform lives. It's hosted by Union Rescue Mission Chief Executive Officer, the Reverend Andy Bales. Tonight, Andy will share some amazing history moments at URM on Skid Row.
So, Kitty, I want to take us back just a little bit to the gospel wagon and a description of the colorful and effective enterprises in those early years.
Well, we figured out that we didn't actually own it, but that we rented it last time. So,
yes.
Carry on.
Yes. And, I was always looking for that
wagon. You know,
that wagon, and so we could put it in our history and find the original one. But
right.
The truth was, they were renting them.
Yes.
Renting the wagon and the horse, just like we did in the Rose Parade.
In the Rose Parade in 2017.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, after a while, when they added a second wagon, the saloon keepers became indignant, especially as drunkards fell on their knees on the sidewalks to implore divine forgiveness. As you know, people would get on the wagon, right? That's where that phrase came from.
Yes, it is.
They'd get on the wagon.
Get on the wagon.
If they ever drank again and fell, they would be falling off
the wagon. Yeah.
So this is the wagon.
We are part of that history.
Men who refused to go to church were being won on the streets. Late in 1907, legislation was passed by the city council. While worded generally and not mentioning the mission by name, prohibited such meetings where for years the banner of righteousness had been publicly unfurled. Let me stick up for the city a little bit.
Yeah.
I believe it was a mixture of the saloon keepers complaining and cars beginning to get on the road.
Okay, so, we'll give them a little bit of
I'll give them a little
grace. Yeah,
right?
There you go. Praise God. Amen.
Through those gospel wagon meetings at the end of the first decade came the conversion of C.F. Estes, raised by a Christian mother, married to a praying wife. He could not break the drink habit despite promises, pledges, and quotation marks, the cure. I'm not sure.
What is, okay.
We'll have to look into that. I mean, probably
promises,
it was a drink of some kind.
And
maybe it was, what was that kind of oil you drink before your...
Castor oil,
yeah.
Stop it.
That will cure
promises,
anything.
Pledges, and the cure. Okay.
When he reached
possibly castor oil.
When he reached California, like many others, he began to get acquainted with the devil and his angels. I was almost down and out, his testimony reads, breaking my wife's heart and wrecking her life by going home most every night filled with booze.
Mm.
But one Sunday afternoon in 1910, I was going down to the corner of First and Los Angeles Streets, now the sweetest spot on earth to me, for it was there on the cobblestones I was saved. As I staggered across the street, two men were singing, "Tell Mother I'll Be There." Those were the last words I had spoken to Mother when I said goodbye to her at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. A man stepped off the wagon and came by my side. My hand went up for prayer, and I got down and asked God to forgive me of my sins. To my surprise, the Lord made me sober, and I jumped to my feet, and at the top of my voice, I cried, "I've got it." Remember that? Wasn't that what we had on the bumper stickers?
I've got it.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Then I went home to tell my wife what Jesus had done for me. He maintained faithful associations with a mission effort across the years, and upon retirement from his work with the Southern Pacific, gave himself to the missions evangelistic program until 1952.
Wow,
42 years.
Yeah.
News of converts, especially of those who testified from the gospel wagon, usually spread quickly through the bars and saloons. Resulting curiosity brought more and more under the hearing of the gospel. Howard F. Traer was one who stopped to listen to those people on the gospel wagon. Instead of carrying out his plans to visit friends, he went to the mission. After several meetings, he finally surrendered to Christ and asked Christ to take away his burden. Mm-hmm. "Before I went to the front, I was so tired I couldn't sit still," he confessed. "But since that night, I have had rest, joy, peace, and contentment, something I never had before. My aim is higher ground today. My worst habit was swearing, but he is taking it out of me."
Okay.
Another gospel wagon audience included John Lalonde, the pharmacist. Overpowered by alcohol, he drank himself to delirium 5 times. During one siege of delirium, he attempted suicide by morphine. On another occasion, he jumped from a second-story Chicago window to escape imaginary foes. In North Dakota, where he opened a drug business, he almost committed a murder while in delirium. Passion for liquor finally cost Lalonde his business. Leaving his wife and child, he roamed over the United States and Canada, still chasing strong drink. Mm. His 2 years in Los Angeles brought 27 arrests for drunkenness. It was on First and Los Angeles streets, where there was a saloon on each corner, that John Lalonde encountered the gospel wagon and the personal worker who spoke with him. Lalonde replied that it was a useless effort. Without faith, since he had tried everything to no avail, Lalonde finally consented to prayer on his behalf. Once on his knees on the cobblestones, he cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake." From that day to this, he later told the mission organizations, "I've been a sober man. The very desire and craving for liquor has been taken away. The power of God can come into a man's life and transform him from a good-for-nothing drunkard and a hobo into a sober, industrious, and God-fearing man."
Wow.
And just remember, this book was written in 1955.
Yes, way back when. Yes, there you go. Wow. Amazing. Now, he was a pharmacist, so he had access to all
dangerous,
kinds of crazy stuff.
Dangerous.
So, yeah. Wow.
And not unheard of.
Not.
Stephen A. Wetmore's story had the same surge of redemptive thrill. He regarded September 1st, 1906 as the termination of the most abjectly wretched years of my life, years which now seem like a nightmare. Wetmore had come to California with high hopes, especially with a determination never again to touch alcohol. The first glass of pure California wine, however, threw him back into a well-worn road. One day in a saloon at First and Los Angeles streets, he reported a drinking acquaintance asked me, "Do you know what has become of Canada Jack?" Mm. "No," said I, "not in jail, I hope." "Well, no," my acquaintance explained, "he's on the gospel wagon." I was shocked and resolved to see for myself if this unimaginable thing were true. After attending meetings of the Union Rescue Mission a few evenings, one night I was there when John Lalonde gave his testimony. I had always known that the gospel of Christ is right. Mm. I was arguing within myself when at a critical moment, Brothers Pearson and Alexander came, unexpected and uninvited, to my assistance. I thought at the moment they were rather precipitous, but they long since have had my full forgiveness. Far from that hour to this, I have been completely relieved from the desire for drink. Mm. A near friend calls it a miracle, and I make no complaint of it. In finding the Savior of men, I suddenly found myself as the Creator of men intended to me to be, not an outcast, but a man.
Canada Jack? Okay, that, what kind of name?
I think they called John Lalonde Canada Jack.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it wasn't the best writing,
no,
to make it clear. The gospel wagon reached countless others. The 18-year-old drunkard who found Christ and became the trusted employee of a large corporation. I believe that was our of Scrap and Steel,
yes,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The gambler, the habitual smoker and alcoholic who ended his roaming life of uselessness at the mission altar,
wow,
and began a new life of usefulness to himself, to his family, and to society.
Mm.
the gospel wagon had a message for sinners as it moved through the city of streets. And we'll come back
back. All right.
You're listening to Some Amazing History Moments at URM on Skid Row. We'll be right back with more right after these important messages. You're listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. Homelessness is devastating communities nationwide, but nowhere more than right here in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is now the homeless capital of America, but Union Rescue Mission is trying to change that. Did you know that many homeless families did not choose life on the streets? Many are victims of circumstances that spiraled out of control. But Union Rescue Mission's CEO, Pastor Andy Bales, says, whatever the reason is, really doesn't matter. Each one is in great need of God's love.
We are carrying out the words of Jesus Christ, and we're shining a bright light in a very dark place. I know our precious guests see our love as we receive so much back from them.
Become a hero for hope when you automatically give each month or a one-time gift of $250. You will also receive a special gift, Union Rescue Mission's book, Stories from Skid Row. The Union Rescue Mission, together with you, bringing hope, healing, and transformation to the streets of Los Angeles. Go to urm.org/KKLA.
Now, let's get back to more amazing history moments at URM on Skid Row.
So continuing with, I guess it's the last days of the gospel wagon. The gospel wagon moved through the city streets, but it declared a message to the saints as well. Whenever it rolled homeward to 145 North Main,
where we stayed for how long? 68 years?
Yeah. Well, no. This is the original City Hall. So we're getting ready to move out of City Hall.
Okay. All right.
The converts on board joined in singing, "We'll Never Say Goodbye in Heaven." At the mission's 63rd anniversary in 1954. This custom was reenacted down on Main Street aboard a replica of the old gospel wagon. And why was it a replica?
Okay,
because there never was.
It never was, right.
Never was owned. Just got to keep sharing that.
Right, exactly.
Converts Estes, Garth, Lee, and Herb, much closer now to their eternal destination and with greater spiritual maturity than they possessed in years gone by, saying once again, "We'll never say goodbye in heaven."
Wow.
That's nice.
That is nice. And we're learning. I mean, we're constantly learning, you know, about our history. It talked about the tents before. You remember the tents? And that's where it started
where
as a tent.
Yeah. Where they had a big tent.
With a gospel wagon.
And everybody stayed there. And all the supplies stayed near them.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're about to
move into a sprung structure. Go back to the... Go back to the past instead of back to the future.
There you go. That's it, Andy.
Well, now we're going to talk about Rescue Incorporated.
Okay.
Incorporation of the mission under the laws of the state of California became a reality on January 23rd, 1908. This transaction required the election of directors or trustees of the new corporation, and so 15 directors were duly designated to serve for the first year until the election of successors. So
would that be CEOs?
No, this is the board of directors.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, we just again incorporated succession. So, terms of serving on the board. So 2-3 year terms with a 1 year sabbatical.
Okay.
And then back to... So back then, it was 1 year until they found out some successors.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The affidavit setting forth the articles of incorporation and containing the names of the 15 directors bore only 6 signatures, implying that previous to incorporation, the official burdens of the work were carried out by Giles Kellogg, Frank F. Pratt, W. E. McVeigh, Walter H. Fisher, H. A. Goetz, and John A. Merrill. Kellogg, secretary of the Union Oil Company, became first president of the board, and Pratt, an attorney at law, its secretary.
Those are familiar names. Well, Kellogg, definitely, and Pratt I've heard before as well.
To complete the first board of 15 directors, the association under Kellogg's leadership selected Dr. John Willis Baer, B-A-E-R,
yeah,
banker and president of Occidental College from 1906 to 1917, Curtis D. Wilbur, W-I-L-B-U-R, then a Superior Court judge who later advanced to the United States Supreme Circuit Court of Appeals, not Supreme, but Circuit Court of Appeals, yeah. Benjamin F. Pearson, superintendent of the Edison Company.
Okay.
T.C. Horton,
I've heard
superintendent of the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We remember the story about where we recruited T.C. Horton away from the East Coast to be a chaplain at Union Rescue Mission to establish a Bible college. So Biola is not our sister, but it is our daughter organization. Sorry.
Did you hear
sorry,
that?
Barry.
Barry. Barry. Barry Corey, yeah. Which they thought was Barry Gordy coming. That was funny, too. We'll have to tell that story as well. Go ahead.
S.A. Brown, funeral director. T.L. Ambrose, later to become a judge of the Superior Court. J.M. Irvine, a prominent rancher who is the Irvine.
Irvine, is that?
Yes.
The City of Irvine?
Irvine Corporation, the City of Irvine, the Irvine Foundation.
Okay.
Yes.
We're learning more.
James Garth and Leon V. Shaw. This group of 15 included none of the original trustees of 1891. M. Getz of the board of 1894 was among the newly selected leaders.
Wow. Okay.
The mission was incorporated for a term of 50 years, which means that by the end of a half century of incorporation, or by 1958, an additional application must be filed for another term.
Oh.
In its original articles of incorporation, the director specified the Union Rescue Mission, an association whose object is not pecuniary profit, but rather formed for the following purposes: to conduct an evangelistic work in promulgating the gospel of Jesus Christ, such gospel to be preached as interpreted by the evangelical churches of the United States of America, and to be based on the verbal and complete inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, the deity of Jesus Christ in his full and complete and vicarious atonement by death of the sins of mankind, to extend physical and financial assistance to those in need, to maintain headquarters and branch headquarters for general missionary training and effort, to own, control, buy, or lease real or personal property of any kind or character necessary to carry on the business of the corporation, with power to mortgage, pledge, or hypothecate any of its property for security for payment of its debts, but only insofar as authorized by the court of proper jurisdiction, after consideration of these articles of incorporation and the intent thereof, to solicit, receive, hold, invest, loan, and distribute contributions, gifts, donations of money, endowments, bequests, and other property in furtherance of the purpose of the corporation, condition that any and all of its temporalities shall be based upon the spiritual purposes and doctrines.
Going to have to stop you there so we can go to a break, but we'll, be, but we'll be right back.
Good to be reminded of all of the things that we're assigned to do.
Exactly. We'll be right back with more right after these important messages.
Thank you for listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. You may have heard a story that touched you deeply or even broke your heart. The truth is, most of us will never know what it's like to be on the streets, sleeping on a sidewalk, wondering where the next meal is coming from, freezing in the winter and unbearably hot in the summer, without hope. The caring staff at Union Rescue Mission does. We know that as the compassion of Christ shines through us, lives are changed and hope is restored. That's why we are dedicated to the thousands of men, women, and children experiencing homelessness in downtown LA. We'd like to invite you to help us complete the circle of acceptance, redemption, and transformation. As little as $22 a month feeds a family of four a hot, nutritious meal. And when you mention KKLA with your monthly or one-time donation of $250, you'll receive our very special gift, Union Rescue Mission's book, Stories from Skid Row. Thanks for listening. To give, go to urm.org/KKLA. That's urm.org/KKLA.
Now, let's get back to more amazing history moments at URM on Skid Row. So, Andy, it's almost time for us to do some more corporation. What? They are writing some more articles of incorporation?
We've revised.
We've done
them.
It? Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
And now they're.
This is back in 1958.
They're kind of as long as it, you know, as we continue.
They remain
in effect. But I do want to tell you.
What?
I consider this next part as my biggest duty.
Okay.
To the Union Rescue Mission, right? I'm hoping that, you know, all of us will always think this is the CEO's biggest job.
Okay.
The cautious wording of the doctrinal basis of the mission, its deliberate reference to the evangelical churches, as also to verbal and complete inspiration to the deity and full and complete and vicarious atonement of Christ, indicate that Protestant liberalism, with its abandonment of historic Christian supernaturalism, already was threatening to leaven the Western churches a half century ago.
Wow.
A century ago, really. And that the mission directors, although laymen, were theologically alert to the controversial issues. From the very first, they set a standard which, although of a minimal nature, so clearly defined the terms of the authority of the Scriptures and the deity and the sufficiency of Christ's vicarious atonement, as to provide a sturdy safeguard of the mission's doctrinal perspective. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, I feel like my biggest job is to keep us on track with our faithfulness to the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And to be all about Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not get in fights with different denominations about secondary issues.
Yeah.
Just to be
like what color Jesus' sandals were and all that
Jesus,
other stuff. Yeah,
right?
we're not doing that.
And, here's something that I mentioned a few months ago. Hmm. I got to go speak to the Y Board of Directors.
Right.
Another item in the original charter pays an indirect tribute to the high evangelical outlook of the YMCA and YWCA at the time of the mission's founding, and designated those organizations as the recipients of the mission properties if any or all of the announced purposes should be violated. It'd be interesting to go back and check on that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Designated all of our property to the Young Men's Christian Association of Los Angeles, the Young Women's Association of Los Angeles.
That's the YMCA or
Yeah, YMCA and the YWCA.
Oh,
that's how
wow.
strong they were in their commitment to Christ
yeah.
at the founding of the YMCA and YWCA. And people don't understand why I'm so stringent and tough on this issue of not getting on the slippery slope of moving away from faith in Jesus Christ.
We can't do that. That's the foundation.
Yeah. So I'll continue as long as I'm here to stand up for Christ very strongly.
We have to.
Almost too strongly.
No.
If that could be the case.
That is not the case.
Yeah.
And no, you have to stand. And it's God's word. And he tells us.
We know where to come back to next time.
We do. We have to trust in him. All right. On behalf of Union Rescue Mission, I'm Kitty Davis Walker, the VP of Public Relations. Thank you for joining us. Tune in again tomorrow at 9:30 p.m. for more amazing stories from Skid Row, right here on 99.5 KKLA. You've been listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. If your heart is breaking as you hear a story that hits a little too close for comfort, then donate to Union Rescue Mission and help CEO Pastor Andy Bales help the men, women, and children of Union Rescue Mission find their way back home.
I'm compelled to do this as I try to practice what I preached over 30 years ago from Matthew chapter 25. I preached that the way you treat another hurting human being is the way you are treating Jesus himself.
Since 1891, the Union Rescue Mission has embraced men, women, and children experiencing homelessness with the compassion of Christ. Many are victims of circumstances by no fault of their own. It's people like these and others that Union Rescue Mission is offering hope healing, and a way out of their tragic situation. But we can't do it without your generous donation. So please, help the Union Rescue Mission provide food, clothing, shelter, and other life-changing services for those desperately in need. And visit urm.org/KKLA to donate now.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.